Chapter 7, The Can't Miss Kid. When I was born, I was the subject of two distinct but wildly divergent prophecies. The first, my paternal grandmother predicted that I would attend Oral Roberts University and become a great pastor in the church. Status on that prophecy, this has not come to fruition yet. Just kidding, that's definitely not coming to fruition. Second prophecy, my pediatrician, upon meeting newborn me, said that due to my unique name, I was destined to become the next great University of Georgia quarterback, which is the kind of strange thing that only a Georgia fan can say. They produce great quarterbacks like the Transformer movies produce developed female characters. Prophecy status, this definitely has not come to fruition either. Absurdity aside, these two prophecies are a microcosm of the nuanced heritage of my homeland, the South. Alongside giving disproportionate respect to carnival food and being unable to understand why continuing to fly the Confederate flag is a terrible idea, sports and sanctification are close siblings at the tippy top of the Southern caste system. Generally, regional greatness is derived or achieved in connection to one of those enduring institutions. So very early, I felt these two tongue-in-cheek prophecies embedded into the subtext of who I was and who I should want to become. I didn't yet fully grasp the concept of identity, but I knew it probably needed to be found in these two areas. So that's how I began life, with two parallel tracks to my development. I was less a person and more a measurement of proximity to these original prophecies and the priorities they asserted, which is why, at 12 years old, I made what I now realize to be a self-indulgent forerunner of what white, affluent women call a vision board. So let me walk you through the contents of this vision board. First, there were pictures of me playing baseball, like so many pictures of me playing baseball. Next, there were pilfered headlines from Sports Illustrated articles that were cut and clipped to where they seemed to apply to my amateur athletic exploits. It was headline appropriation, if you will. Next, there were miscellaneous athletic trinkets associated with important athletic moments like medals and trophies. Next, there were pictures of other athletes I admired, including, but not limited to, Charlie Ward, Barry Larkin, Ryan Sandberg, Reggie White, Pete Sampras, Pete Sampras's super bushy eyebrows, and John Elway. Now that I'm reading this, I'm realizing that it's heavy on the sporting emphasis, which is a fair reflection of my priorities throughout my childhood and adolescence. But also, it's because church didn't give me a commoditized industry to idolize, which is probably wise. Posters with Joel Osteen posed heroically or Max Lucado bobbleheads would probably be a bad look. Am I a little surprised that there are no Joel Osteen fatheads out there? Sure, definitely a little, but the point remains, outside of Awana, there wasn't really much in the way of Christian swag to prove how ride or die you were for God other than those WWJD bracelets. The centerpiece of my monument to youthful arrogance was the clipped headline from a Sports Illustrated article about Notre Dame quarterback Ron Pallas, who was called the Can't Miss Kid. For background, Ron Pallas was a quarterback phenom who was predicted to not just win a